is Revolutionizing Recruitment with Kathleen Duffy, the arts of attracting, acquiring, and retaining talent. Here's Kathleen.
Thanks for joining me once again for my conversation with Arrowet CEO Allison Rapping and Danielle Hughes, who works in Second Chance Employer Outreach. We've been discussing how Arrowet provides education assistance, workforce development, and job opportunities to incarcerated and formerly incarcerated women. Danielle, talk to me about your work in Second Chance Employer Outreach. What does it entail, and how do you help these women find work?
A lot of it, especially in the beginning, was just the storytelling, getting my story out and really trying to connect with people who really believed up to that point there was nothing to connect about. And then it really kind of moved into trying to create relationships with companies and having them be able to meet me, hear from me. And I would go into it not letting them know that I was part of the Second Chance. I would have a conversation with them from a standpoint of, I really believe in Second Chance, and I'm really excited to connect with them about this and answer any questions and just be an open book. At the end of it is when I would usually shock them, and here they just had this long conversation with me, and I would let them know that I actually am a part of that as well. And I would notice a shift, you know, immediately. All of a sudden, the way they talked and the way that they looked at me kind of shifted, and instead of no longer feeling a connection with me, it was like an aha moment. With ACLU, I would do a lot of going down to the Capitol, attending events, and really trying to push certain bills. And then I became a part of another organization as well, CSSJ. And with them, I do more of the speaking engagements where you go onto the floor and introduce bills. And it's really powerful when you're able to be connected with a bill that you're trying to pass, and you can tell your own story when it comes to that. I think the most recent bill was where we were trying to allow the court system, the judges, to give you lower than the minimum. I know the judge had said to me, I would like to give you lower. I've heard your story. You have all these people here supporting you who have backed everything, and we want to give you less, but I'm just not able to. And so I was stuck with an obscene amount of time for something that was equal to somebody who had done something really violent. So, and now it's just, I think, just getting the word out. And there are events that are coming to town where they do, I'm part of the Survivor, and this is through the CSSJ, where you survivors get together and want to have a voice. And, you know, with what had happened to me when I was younger and then through domestic violence, you know, I didn't know that I had certain tools at my fingertips that could have helped me. And getting the word out that, you know, people have these tools, that you can actually get help and not be stuck in the situation you're in. And so those are the different avenues that I really kind of get my feet wet in and try and make a stand. You know, I made a point when I was inside, there were a lot of things I wasn't okay with. There just was no help. There was no rehabilitation while I was inside. You know, if you were one of the lucky ones who really took hold of your own time and made it what you wanted it and came out on the end in a positive way, you were one of the lucky ones. And so wanting to make those changes was really important, and not just be released and not ever look back. I believe it's really important that if I'm not okay with something and I don't want it done to me, then I need to not be okay with it being done to others. And I have found, you know, I had a really hard time when it came to housing, and when it came to, I still can't find a place so that I can be with just me and my daughter. I've moved in because my mom is sick. But then I have, you know, the consequences of my actions, and what's that doing to my 16-year-old now, and her anxiety, and how she's dealing with it, and not able to find the help unless you're financially set to do so. So there's a lot of those things that I really want to be a part of and impact. I've had many interviews where I've made all three steps, three different interviews with different companies, and they love me, and they want to hire me, and they say, you know, we think you're a great fit. And then comes the background question after all of that. I've gotten letters saying that we want to hire you. Here's your hiring letter. But then a couple days before I get hired, or my start date, I'm sorry, they say, sorry, we've changed our mind. You know, your background came back. Oh, it just doesn't make any sense. I've had that happen a few times. So
Are those predominantly with, you know, these larger national employers as opposed to maybe some of the small to medium-sized businesses that Phoenix seems to have more of than large corporations?
I think my only guess with that is I think the larger the corporation, the more rules and mm-hmm. the more policies they have, rather than when you have the smaller companies, they have more choice. This is just what I've heard. They have more ability to change their own policies rather than having to go through a lot of bureaucratic stuff in order to get there. At least that's what they say. So,
yeah. Well, I know that that is certainly a population that we have been looking at in our organization. As a matter of fact, we've spoken with Arrowette about a few candidates, and you know, it hasn't been the right fit. You know, being a recruiter is a whole different ball of wax, and it's not for everybody. But I've certainly been extremely impressed by the talent that I have seen come across. So I highly encourage folks that are looking to tap into this talent pool to definitely do that. So in part of your role, Danielle, do you help these women find work too? Like, are you marketing them to other employers?
So that area is covered more by Grant and Samantha, who work for Arrowette. Mine was more dealing with the corporations themselves and trying to get them to agree to a relationship to where they would be willing to, if we have this pool of ladies who meet the criteria, we could send over their resumes and directly, and then they would have these positions that they would be open and excited to bring them on into. So no, I would love to get into the recruitment part and be able to do that, but right now through Arrowette, that's done by the different department. By amazing people, by the way. They've really made a huge difference.
Yeah. Maybe, Allison, can you talk to that about how they go about helping these women find work?
Absolutely. And Danielle has been invaluable because she just works the phone and calls companies mm-hmm. and makes the introduction. We have a whole other side of what we do, which is really preparing women to be successful. And this is in all areas of their life. But what we find is there's a direct correlation to meaningful employment and success. And so we work with women on really three distinct things. We really help them with their financial literacy, financial coaching. How do you manage your checkbook? How do you do a budget? We have a loan program. So we help people get credit building loans and car loans. So we really work very closely with them on managing and preparing for financial success. Then we work with them on the wraparound services, all of the income supports, access, food stamps, healthcare, transportation, clothing, food, child reunification. And this is the piece that we really take on so that when that person's employed, that employer doesn't have to worry about those things. Arrowette supports the employee with all of that. And that's nice. How we partner with the employers is that we really walk shoulder to shoulder with the employer, providing all of these wraparound supports. And then the third part that we offer is employment coaching. So we really sit with the women and say, what are you interested in? Because for women who go to prison, they have these incredible skills and talents that they don't even realize what opportunities are out there. So we hear from these women like amazing things that they've done with their lives before they went to prison. And we help them put this into a resume because we're like, you've got talents, you've got skills. We just need to help you share those with the world. And so we work with them on getting ready for employment. And what we have found is that three-prong approach of financial literacy, all of the wraparound supports and employment coaching and employment support really prepare them to be incredibly successful in the workplace.
Another part of our conversation that I've had with other high corporate talent acquisition executives is the whole looking at individuals' skills and talents as opposed to experience. And that's been a huge shift for many talent acquisition folks. So I think to your point that you talk about that these women are bringing many skills and experiences to the party, or I shouldn't say skills and experience, but the skills and the talent, and maybe not necessarily it, like in my world, having previously been an executive recruiter, doesn't necessarily matter the skills and the talents that they bring kind of trump some of that experience at times.
I'd love to share a couple examples of where we've seen just excelling. One is in anything in the behavioral health field. We have a lot of women graduating from Arrowhead that are going to work in all kinds of behavioral health organizations. We have women going into sales. Usually what may get a woman into trouble is the fact that they're incredibly good at sales. So we're helping women redirect these incredible skills that they have. And so we're seeing women going into sales jobs, hospitality jobs. Women are killing it on the restaurant scene. I mean, as servers, back office, cooks, there are so many women with so many talents. And we would love to introduce those women to your employers.
Fabulous. So I want to talk about criminal justice reform. And I know that, Allison, in 2019, you were invited to the White House by President Trump, and you were there to celebrate the passing of the First Step Act. Tell us about that.
That was an amazing and surreal experience. I will never forget when the invitation came, and it was for April 1st, and I thought it was a joke. I honestly did not think it was real. And then I called the White House and realized it was real. And we were able to go to celebrate the First Step Act, which was an act that President Trump put together in partnership with a lot of Congress to allow people with nonviolent offenses to get out earlier. And that is starting in federal prisons, but there's still a lot we need to do to help with sentencing reform in state prisons, which is where the majority of people are. But what was so beautiful about this day was that all of the cabinet members were there. I met everybody, and a number of businesses were there. And so there were people on the stage standing next to the president and the vice president talking about their job at Walmart, talking about their job at Verizon, talking about their job at JP Morgan Chase. It was an inspiring, beautiful afternoon, one I will never forget. And the people that I met with lived experience who were speaking, they motivated me so much, and it made me want to open all of these doors for all of the women that we work with here in Arizona.
I can only imagine. So, you know, when it comes to criminal justice reform, you know, that bubbles up into the into conversations, especially during the election cycles. But really, maybe you can, again, help us understand really what is criminal justice reform, and are people really getting it?
What an excellent question. So I think there's a lot of room to discuss what criminal justice reform is. What I'd like to talk about is very specifically how it affects the women that we work with, because that's where our expertise is. So the majority of women who go into prison are going in because they are victims themselves. So they are victims of crimes. They are victims of abuse. They have suffered mental health and substance use disorders. So one of the biggest issues that we focus on in criminal justice reform is, what is the best way to rehabilitate somebody? Is sending someone to prison for an extraordinarily long sentence really the best way to solve these problems? So what we're trying to do is say there are better ways than long prison sentences. And the other thing that we're trying to do is, how do we bring... The prison that we work with does an incredibly good job of working with people with what they have to work with. But what we want to do is be able to augment their good work with our programs and services so that we can come in and augment and add to what they're already doing. The second part of criminal justice reform that I think people are not understanding is the huge economic cost that it has to all of us. We are all dramatically impacted by criminal justice. And here is one reason. In Arizona alone, we spend $1.4 billion on just keeping people incarcerated. That's as much as we spend in Arizona on higher education in its totality. that also does not take into consideration the cost of people not having skills or losing their skills, the cost of them not paying payroll taxes, the cost of children being in the welfare system or in foster care as opposed to being with loving parents. So what we're thinking about when we think about criminal justice reform is how can we come up with better solutions that are more cost effective, that are more humane, that will allow for better results. And organizations like Arrowette, St. Joseph the Worker, Phoenix Rescue Mission, St. Vincent de Paul, there are so many incredible nonprofits working in this space that are creating opportunities for people to not have to go back to prison.
Well, thank you for that. And you shared with me your impact report, which was, blew my mind away. I've known you for a while, Allison, and what you all over there have been able to accomplish just in the last few years has been truly amazing. Talk to me a little bit about the Day of Empathy.
So we are the Arizona facilitator of Day of Empathy, which is a program that's put on by Dream Corps out of Washington, D.C. There are 38 states that are involved. This year, we had a proclamation read at the House of Representatives. And what was the most beautiful thing was we went down with six women who have all spent time down there talking to legislators. Arrowette does not lobby on anything, but we educate and advise on just issues that affect women in incarceration. So anytime an elected official invites us, we will go down with storytellers and just talk to them about the issues. Well, as you know, we've had a somewhat divided and a little bit of a cantankerous time down at the legislature lately, but we went down with six women and literally we had a proclamation read. And these women got a standing ovation from both sides of the aisle. I have never been more excited and more proud standing up in the galley with these incredible, deserving women, watching all of these powerful and intelligent legislators clapping and cheering for them. It was one of the greatest moments I've had at Arrowette, and that proclamation is hanging very proudly in our office.
That's great. That's great. Well, we could be talking for hours here. This is just so fascinating. I want to make sure I know that the organization is small, yet it is growing, and you have been one of a handful of Arizona nonprofits that applies for a number of grants. One of them was the Community Thrives Grant. And you received that. Can you tell us more about that grant and what it means to your organization? And also, I am guessing that there are probably many of our listeners who would like to learn more about how to possibly donate to the organization or even volunteer.
First, if you want to learn more about the organization, our website is arrowetteempowers.org. And we have social media, Arrowette. We're on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. We've got lots of information on how to donate. But what we're doing right now with Community Thrives, Community Thrives is the Gannett Corporation's foundation, and we've applied for a grant to support our Storytellers Program. And our Storytellers Program is where we've trained 50 women and their family members to speak to businesses, to speak to elected officials, to speak to churches. We do a lot of work in the faith community, just educating people on this issue and how they can get involved. Through Community Thrives, in order for our grant to be looked at, we have to raise $6,000 in matching funds between now and Friday. So we are actively doing this campaign to raise $6,000 so that we can move forward to the next round with Community Thrives. But if somebody wants to donate, they can go to our website and we have lots of information. If they're interested in learning more about our events, that's also on the website. If you want to volunteer, we are always looking for volunteers to be professional mentors, to help work at our reentry simulations, to attend special events that we do with the women. There are different opportunities to get involved as a volunteer with Arrowette, and we would love to have you. One other way to get involved as a volunteer is we do a lot of mock interviews, and we do those virtually as well. So you don't even have to live in Arizona to be an Arrowette volunteer.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. And Danielle, First of all, I want to congratulate you for all that you have been able to accomplish in just the short time that since you have been released from prison. I'm sure that your daughter is incredibly proud of you. I understand that you are in college right now. Is that correct?
I am, yeah. First, thank you very much for saying that. That means a lot. Yes, I started attending Grand Canyon University as soon as I got out. I'll graduate March of 2023.
With a 4.0 grade point average, is that still current?
Yes, I have somehow been on Dean's list every time and have been able to hold the 4.0.
Well, congratulations. Not many people can say that, even in the storybook life that one may have lived. So congratulations. That's really very, very exciting. Allison, I really appreciate the opportunity for you to tell us about Arrowette, to tell us more about Fair Chance Hiring, what is going on and from a national perspective. And I really, again, Danielle, appreciate you sharing your story because I do think that you represent a lot of these women out there who, on that worst day, and so it helps us to understand what this really great talent pool is out there so that we can tap into it and really keep our businesses moving forward, especially here in Arizona, where it is such a great place to live and continue to grow our economy. So I just want to thank you both for sharing your stories today, and we look forward to continuing our conversation and supporting all the efforts that you're doing.
I just want to thank you so much. I've known you for a really long time. I've respected the work that you do. You are so passionate, an advocate for employment and for taking care of people. And I really, really am so honored that we're a part of the show today.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Thank you.
You're both very welcome. And that's it for another episode of Revolutionizing Recruitment. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, make sure you take a second to subscribe so you automatically get my new shows when they drop. Also, if you have a minute, I'd love if you left us a review so more folks like yourself can discover the show. Until next time, take care.
This has been Revolutionizing Recruitment with Kathleen Duffy. To connect with Kathleen or to learn more about recruitment research, go to duffygroup.com.